We're at text 14 on page 337. Daivahiye shagunamayi mamamaya duratyaya mameveye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Daivi, transcendental. He, certainly. Esha, this. Gunamayi, consisting of the three modes of material nature. Mama, my. Maya, energy. Duratyaya, very difficult to overcome. Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly. Ye, those who. Prapadyante, surrender. Mayam, etam, this illusory energy. Taranti, overcome. Te, they. Translation. We're on page 338. This is verse 714. Does everyone have a book? Does everyone have an asan? Okay. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Please repeat. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord. But due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabaddha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows: Mayam tu prakritim vidyam mayinam tad maheshvaram. Although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshvara, the supreme controller. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 4.10. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy and the surrendered soul, on the surrendered soul, and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words mameva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not to Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajoguna, passion, and tamoguna, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of maya. In other words, Lord Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of maya. Only Vishnu is the master of maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8, confirm this in the phrase tam eva viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, mukti pradhata sarvesham Vishnu eva nasamshayaha. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Daiva hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam turantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. And the chapter starts with Krishna telling Arjuna that if he'll hear from him, that he'll understand everything just by hearing. And Srila Prabhupada makes a lot of this in the first purport and cites from the Srimad Bhagavatam the process that by hearing from the Supreme Lord, actually, one becomes freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, begins to experience happiness from within one's heart, and attains victory over the influence of material nature, which has been dominating him for so long. And the process is by hearing. He says, Mayasakta mana parta yogam yunjan marashraya asamshrayam samagramam yatagyasasi tachtrinu. That just by hearing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that all this will be attained. And then he says that he'll understand all kinds of knowledge. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam baksham yasheshita yajgyatva nehabunyo najgyatavyam avishishite. He'll understand that the nature of everything, because one who understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead and one who knows himself, he becomes the knower of everything. Then Krishna begins to describe the nature of this world. First of all, he says that it's very rare that someone actually takes to the process of self-realization. Out of many, many millions of men, hardly one actually even thinks about it. And of those who take to it, hardly one knows Krishna in truth. There are different processes to understand God. But the only process to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Tatvato, Krishna says, if you want to know me tatvato, in truth, then you have to take the bhakti. Otherwise, other processes will lead to a partial understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna will not reveal himself unless one takes the path of bhakti. So it's very rare. Then he describes the nature of the world, of the material elements which are separated from him. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kammano bhudir eva cha ahankara iti ame bina prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies. And we talked about this on Sunday, that separated, this word bina, means that example is a tape recording of someone's voice. It's the energy of the person, and practically it's identical. If we hear the recording of Rasikananda speaking in a tape recorder, it is Rasikananda, but at the same time it's separated from him. He's left his energy there, but no one else can make the same vibration or the same kind of imprint. It's very personal. So Krishna's energies that we see in this world are his separated energies, bina prakriti. They're emanations from him, as is everything. Aham sarvasya pravavo. All the energies come from Krishna. He's the potential. He's full of all kinds of powers. And everything emanates from him, including this material nature. But then he says in the next verse that above this material nature is a living entity. Aparayam itastanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. That beyond the material, inferior nature, there's a superior nature. He says, besides these other elements that you can look at and observe in the world, then there's this superior energy, the living entity. Aparayam, apara. Besides the apara nature, there's the para nature. There's the supreme nature. And that's the living entity. But he says he's struggling hard with the elements. He's trying to daryate. He's trying to dominate nature. The soul, the fragmental part of Krishna is trying to dominate these material energies, and therefore he's struggling in the material world. So then Krishna says, Itadyoyini bhutani sarvanityupadaraya aham krishnasya jagata pravava pralayastata, that understand that all of these energies, whether it's this external energy, the bina prakriti, or whether it's the superior energy of the living entity, it's all coming from me. Everything that you see in the universe, Krishna says, it comes from me. So then he declares, Matak paratanam nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutri manigana iva, that everything's being held together by me. Just like the thread, it holds together the pearls. You can see how it has form, shape, and it's held together. So similarly, I'm holding everything together. And there's nothing superior to me. Matak paratanam nat. Nothing is superior to me. I'm the topmost. Then he begins to describe how he pervades everything in the material world, even in through the material nature. We can see him. Rasoham apsukonteya prapasmi shashishuryoyo pranavak sarvavedeshu shabdake parashamnishu. So the taste of water. Water brings life. And there's nothing that can satisfy like water. It's an amazing element. Described in many places in poetical terms. And, wherever there's water, there's life. A few years ago, someone saw through a telescope there might be some ice on Mars or something. So immediately, scientists concluded that there must be life there. Because life, water means life. Krishna gives life. Rasoham apsukonteya. And this idea of the taste of water, so unique, and satisfying of the thirst. The devotee feels gratitude when he drinks water, and he thinks of Krishna. And Prabhupada was so compassionate that he extended that idea to any kind of liquid, including liquor. And he said that even if a drunkard drinks wine, a wino drinks wine, and he thinks this taste is Krishna while he's drinking, then he'll also become Krishna conscious, because Prabhupada liberally distributed Krishna consciousness to everyone and gave well wishes. Rasoham apsukonteya prabhashmi shashishuryoyo. And then the sun. Om tad vishnu paramam param sada pashanti surayoho divavachakshara tatam te viprasso vipanyavo jagribam saha siminnate vishnur yat paramam param. All the great yogis and sages, they'll say this verse before they start puja, before they do anything, right? Om tad vishnu paramam param sada pashanti surayoho. It means really that the lotus feet of the Lord are above us. And he can see through his feet. Angani yasya sakarandriyavritimanti. Krishna's lotus feet. Imagine now, just as a nice meditation on Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada, that the Lord's lotus feet are above us. They say, heart within, God above, march on. So the Lord's lotus feet are always above us. And he can see with his feet. He's all powerful. And the sunshine also is an emanation from Krishna. Yach chakshuresha savita sakala grahanam. There's nowhere that you can go without being witnessed by the sun. You say, well, it's nighttime. Then the moon comes. That's the other eye of the Lord. And without the light of the sun, actually, we think we're seeing the sun, but actually the fact is that we can't see without the sun. And the idea is like, did you see the sun? No, but you couldn't see without it anyway. So actually, that's the supreme power. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada. It's coming from Krishna. That power is emanating from the Lord. And everyone, please move up by 6.2 inches. 2 feet all at once, Rasikanan is asking for. And please make sure that anybody who just came in has an asan. If we run out of asan, there's more in the middle unit. If we run out of those, there's more at Jagrini's house. We can drive up there. Hare Krishna. So we're dependent on the Lord, and He's above. He's watching us all the time. We should have the consciousness that at no time are we ever out of the vision of the Lord. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashanti Suryaho. And the sages are always looking up to see the Lord and to get His favor in everything. Rasa Hom Apsi Apsukonteya Prabhasmi Shashi Suryo Pranavak Sarvavedeshu. So he says he's the syllable Om in the Vedic mantra, or this sound vibration that's coming from the mantra. These sound vibrations that come from the Vedic mantras, they liberate us from the material world. It's not ordinary sound. It's spiritual sound. And especially in the age of Kali Yuga, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's the essence of all mantras. And it is, Krishna says it's Anicca Shakti. His personal energy is there, invested within the mantra. So Pranavak Sarvavedeshu, just by chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It actually tastes good on the tongue. Sometimes if you chant Hare Krishna and the mind doesn't want to participate, you can convince your tongue that actually it'll taste good. Because it really does. The tongue likes to vibrate things and it likes to taste. But the Hare Krishna mantra actually tastes good. And if you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If the mind doesn't go along at first, the tongue will lead the way, which is bona fide. It's Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayameva Spratida. If you can't get anything else going in your spiritual life, get your tongue going and get it going. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Because the tongue always leads the way all over the universe. This is stated in the Vedas and the bhajans of the great souls, that the tongue's leading everyone. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarapasta vegam. It wants to taste. You can't be stopped. The tongue can't be stopped. You see all kinds of animals. I one time went to Belize and I was snorkeling. And I looked down and I was watching all the fish down there. And they're all controlled by the tongue. They're just... Every one of them, they'll be sitting there for 5 minutes, all of a sudden, just waiting, anamoy, to engage the tongue, to get something going. And all over the universe, everyone wants some taste on their tongue. So the best taste is a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and it really does taste good. The tongue, it vibrate for a little while, then it'll get a taste. And once it gets a taste, a little ruchi for chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, it'll keep going, because the tongue leads the way. So pranavak sarvavedeshu shabdake purusham nishu. This is ability in man, sound and ether. And the ability in man is where does ability come from? The best kind of ability is the ability to do the right thing. Because we are free, actually, as souls. Krishna gives us freedom. He never tries to stop our freedom, because he loves us so much that he wants us to be able to exercise our own freedom and therefore taste transcendental pleasure, love for him. Real love means that there's complete independence to choose. So he doesn't restrict us in our independence. And in the human form of life, we actually have godlike powers, because we've been given complete freedom when it comes to the human form of life. We read that earlier in the Ishapanishad. That in the lower forms of life, the soul is forced to follow the ways of nature, but in the human form of life, we can actually get this ability to surrender and use our independence to serve Krishna. And this is the best ability. So he says, I'm the ability in man. So that impetus that you feel, that now I want to do the right thing, maybe it's to sit down and chant your rounds. It feels so good, doesn't it? When you have the power to sit down and say, now I'm going to serve Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You decided, and you have that power. To have that power means to have the ability in man And that's coming from Krishna. He supplies that. We're part and parcel of Krishna. We have same kind of quality, but quantity is small, but we're given that ability by Krishna to be able to chant Hare Krishna, to surrender him, to render some service. So he's the ability in man. And that power to do the right thing means that we're getting Krishna's mercy. And we can get that by good association. We can get it gradually by hearing. And then that impetus comes to do the right thing. And then we become happy and free. Then Krishna says what? Shabda Kepurusham Nishu Punyo Ganda Prativyam Cha means he's the fragrance of the earth. Punyo Ganda Prativyam Cha. So any flower that we smell anywhere that smells fragrant, that's all coming from the earth. It's already there within the earth. That's Krishna, actually. Those fragrances, what is it? Prasadam? The smell of prasadam? is all attractive. And these things come from Krishna. Punyo Ganda Prativyam Cha Tejas Chasmi Vibhavaso. And fire, that effulgence of the fire and the power of the fire, that's from Krishna. Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu, that very life is coming from Krishna. Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu Tapas Chasmi Tapasvishu, and he's the penances of all ascetics. Bijamam Sarva Bhutanam Bidi Partha Sanatanam. So he's the seed of all existences. So in this way, throughout the seventh chapter, Krishna's explaining where everything comes from. He's explaining how he's present in all of his energies and how we can become fully conscious with him, of him. And we come to this verse, Daivahi Esha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayametam Tarantite. This verse stands out very, very much and is quoted very often in many places, because this is, as they say in the vernacular, where the rubber meets the road. To surrender to Krishna, actually, this is the real process of yoga. This is the real purpose of the human form of life, is to surrender. And if we surrender to Krishna, then he can give his mercy to us and release us from this bondage of the three modes of material nature. And therefore, there is no other process except surrender. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma suchaha. And Krishna gives these words about surrender at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, don't worry, don't hesitate, don't fear. If you surrender unto me, then I will deliver you, I will protect you. There's no worries. Hare Krishna. Comments? Question?
What do you mean by surrender?
There's always a catch. Okay. Well, a surrender is means to give up. There's a process of surrender, actually. It's helpful to think of it, because, you know, when we think, how do I surrender, then the process is described, how we can accept things that are, you know, break it down into pieces, accept things that are favorable, reject things which are unfavorable, right? Consider the Lord to be one's protector. Always consider the Lord's one's exclusive maintainer. Never consider oneself to be independent. And always consider oneself to be very fallen and meek and humble. So accepting things favorable, this means that we have to have some kind of discretion about what's favorable, and also giving up things that are unfavorable, we have to have some instruction, favorable, unfavorable. So we get instruction from the Shastra, and from the Guru, and from the Sadhus, Sadhu Shastra Guru. And therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye Shastra Vidamutsrija Vartate Kamakarata Nasa Siddham Avapnoti Nasu Kamna Paramgatim. If you don't take this kind of shastric evidence, then you won't attain perfection, you won't get happiness, you won't, what else don't you get? And the supreme destiny won't reach the goal. Yeah. So to understand what's favorable, what's unfavorable, you can take instruction from these sources. And also Krishna will give instruction from within the heart as the Chaitya Guru. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami bhuti yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. And then considering the Lord one's maintainer is to understand this knowledge that we're hearing, that everything's coming from Krishna. We heard earlier the ishavashamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. It's saying that, you know, Krishna is the supreme controller. It's actually a relief. I was talking to Satyadeva Prabhu earlier, and he was pointing out how I'm not the supreme controller. And it was a big relief to me. because everything's beyond my control anyway. And if I understand that and see that I can't control things, actually, and I surrender to that, that includes seeing that my maintenance is, you know, in a collective way, people get very concerned about how they're going to become maintained. That, you know, how am I going to live if I don't get my maintenance? But part of surrender means to hone your consciousness to understand and depend on Krishna, that he's maintaining. There's a tendency to hoard and to hold on, to try to maintain myself. And there has to be some balance. You know, the Goswamis showed by their example that they had some income and they divided it up in a certain way. But to cultivate this idea and mentality that all my maintenance is coming from Krishna, yadrishcha labasantushto, and that there's a way in which things come naturally of their own accord. I don't need to become overly hyper. That's redundant, but I don't need to become anxious, overly anxious, to maintain myself, because maintenance is going on anyway. If you think about it, you know, we've really, probably none of us in this room ever really missed a meal in our life. Probably had three a day most of the time. You know, it comes. Krishna's maintaining the elephant. He's maintaining the ant. You look around, just see in nature, everyone's getting their little quota. What is that? Magridha kasisuddhanam. No, what is that? Ishavashamidam sarvam yet kincha jagatyam tena tyaktena. He sets aside something for everyone. That's what that verse says. Tena tyaktena. He's set aside certain for you too. Why wouldn't he? And especially for devotees. The devotee thinks that, you know, Krishna's maintaining already every living entity. Even the demons get their stipend. So, of course, he'd maintain the devotees. He says it in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, for the devotees, he shows special kindness. And Bhaktavatsal, they're like his children, like little calves, and he's maintaining them. So consider that we're being maintained by Krishna and cultivate that, especially in household life. You know, there's a tendency to get four walls and put things in it and then lock the doors and, you know, I got to keep these things. But to understand how Krishna's maintaining us and depend more and more on him, this is a part of surrender. And to also think that we're not independent, that everything is being arranged by Krishna. And what else? Oh, and he's our protector. Yes.
That's been kind of something I was just reflecting on recently, and how transferring the surrender doesn't become so scary when you have a positive alternative to transfer your safety net to. Instead of endeavoring to gain material facilities, I've been trying to take more advantage of just hearing and chanting and using that as my, you know, endeavor to secure myself. And, you know, that endeavor still goes on. And instead of just saying don't frustrate or don't be anxiety, but apply that anxiety to, you know, why am I not Krishna conscious, and let me become Krishna conscious, and then that solves the equation I've been learning.
Thank you. Prabhuji. Yes.
I just wanted to say, Prabhuji just asked surrender. You pretty much summed up. But in the highest form, I think, I might be wrong, but surrender is to really understand what our real free will is. Finally, when we give up our free will, that is the real surrender. And at that point in time, Now that includes our varnashram dharma. You know, right now I want to be a Brahman, I want to be a whatever. But once I give that up, then I'll understand what the actual meaning of Vraja is. Sarvadharman also includes varnashram dharma also, because this is totally transcendental. So Lord Krishna wants us to take us to the platform of total transcendence, where he says sarvadharman pratyaj. And in that, the varnashram dharma is also included. And then that surrender becomes mamekam sharanam vraja, as in vraja bhumi. So that's just what I have to say.
Thank you. There may be a case to be made that in the gradual process of surrender, that before we renounce varnashram or our job or our family or anything else, that our surrender may come in doing our duty dutifully where we are. Because artificially renouncing before we're ready is a prescription for disaster. Everyone's in a certain situation of life, and to accept that and to gradually increase in our Krishna consciousness is also a form of surrender. I mean, I may be in a situation that I don't like even, but staying in that situation and doing my duty and at the same time going on with my cultivation of Krishna consciousness, particularly as recommended in the first verse of this chapter, Tat Srinu, by hearing, is really the process recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he heard the verse from Ramananda Roy, where Brahma recommends Stane Stita Shrutigatam Dhanuvan Manobir. Don't try to change your external situation artificially. As a matter of fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's recommended by Shukadev Goswami, unless you're completely pure, he said, you don't need to hear about the Rasa Lila or the higher pastimes of the Lord, but you should direct your attention and hear about the universal form of the Lord. That the trees are the hairs on the body of the Lord, the rivers are the veins, the mountains are the bones, the clouds are the hair. And in this way, develop a relationship with the universal form of the Lord. And gradually, by the Lord's mercy, it's a descending process. I can't artificially give up anything. Usually what happens is I'll give it up. It's compared to carrying a load on your shoulder, and then you get tired of it, so you put it on your head. And so the only way we can become relieved of that is through the gradual process of surrender and taking the mercy of the Lord. Of course, you can immediately surrender too, but that's pretty rare. Normally what means is there's some... actually, it's true. You can surrender in a second. Prabhupada gives the example that if somebody comes to you with a bag full of $1 million and says, here, please take this bag, and you have the choice. You can say, okay, I'll take it or I won't take it. So similarly, Krishna's coming and saying, you know, surrender and I'll deliver you from misery and you'll go and don't worry. You could take it or not take it, actually. It's our choice. So simultaneously, those concepts are there. It's just that normally we'll take the idea that if you want to advance, the question always is, how do I come to the next level? And the answer always is to act properly in the level you're at now. And Krishna gives different options for different people. He talks about this in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that he says, think of me all the time. Constantly fix your mind upon me. You know, never forget me. And this is the highest situation. One can fix one's mind on Krishna 24 hours a day. But that requires some progression. There's a progression of faith that one goes through in devotional service, beginning with association with devotees and then practicing the rules and regulations of devotional service, officially entering into the sampradaya, taking initiation, going through the anartanivritti. Normally this stage of clearing the unwanted things that are blocking us from surrendering takes some time. It takes some cleansing process. And as Bhartahari Prabhu pointed out the other day when, in one of Prabhupada's statements, is take some agony. There's some divine agony involved. And many times these, you know, these struggles that we go through in life to make advancement in devotional service, where we feel like we're down and down and down, and then we come back up again a little bit, and then we go through these struggles, they're making us stronger. This is the process. It's compared to going to Mount Everest. And when you go to the Mount Everest, the highest peak on the Himalayas, on your way there, you have to go through the foothills. And the foothills go up and down. So you're going up. You are making progress towards Mount Everest, which is, you know, the highest thing. But while you're on your way up, you're going to feel sometimes like you're going down. And that's anartha nivritti, because it's not steady, and you don't know what's going to come out next. And it's very difficult. So it's not cheap either. You know, I can't just say, you know, now I'm going to be a topmost sadhu or something. You have to be tested and go through the fire and come out, you know, purified by the fire. And that's the recommended process. Go through anartha nivritti and then come out through this place where there's steadiness. And all these things require a dedication to the process of Krishna consciousness, which is a rare thing. We talked about before, manushyanam sahasreshu. Hardly anybody's interested anyway in self-realization. And those who take to it, hardly that many people really stick to it. And if you don't stick to it, it means it takes a lot longer. If you really stick to it, then you can make steady progress. And it's better to be a good devotee than a great devotee and just be steady. And Prabhupada said about, sometimes he was asked, why do these big devotees leave? Because we have an international movement, and sometimes people come and they get a big stature and then they'll go away. And Prabhupada said, big devotees don't leave. Some of the biggest devotees you find around are people doing some humble service, and they just don't leave. They just stick to the process. And that's what we have to do, too, and gradually come through the categories by Krishna's mercy. Rakshit Prabhu.
Yeah, I just wanted to offer a comment to the discussion on surrender, that it also conveys some directive towards renunciation. You surrender means you renounce something. Often it is interpreted that one has to renounce activities and one has to renounce work. But there's a distinction that is made, that it is not asking that one renounce work or activities. It is essentially asking that one renounce the results from the work and the attachment to the activity. When Arjun asked Krishna, 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna at one time told him, renounce work, and then he said, work in devotion. And he said, I'm confused. On one hand you're saying renounce work, and on the other you're saying work in devotion. Which one is better? He said, both are okay, but I prefer work in devotion, not renouncing of work. So there the message is that one doesn't have to give up work or activities, but it's the results or the attachments to that which has to be renounced.
Thank you very much. Yes, Ramaswamy.
Prabhuji, earlier in the purport for East Upanishad verse, Prabhupada said in the purport that how devotees offer everything that they take, that they eat first to Krishna, and then they eat the remnants, and how those who cook and eat for themselves without offering first to Krishna are indeed eating sin. Does this concept sort of applies to the money also? For example, we earn money, but we don't offer that money to Krishna. We just spend it for ourselves. But we understand that, you know, that money belongs to Krishna, but we don't offer it anyway. We just spend it for ourselves. Can that be considered, isn't it, you're spending sin only? The second question is, you know, can we offer money to Krishna and then it becomes prasadam and then, you know, mm-hmm. we spend ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah, all energies are Krishna's. And when one understands correctly that they belong to Krishna, then naturally he'll engage them in Krishna's service. And the example is that if you're standing in line and you see somebody drop a $20 bill, it's very easy to give it back to them because you saw it just dropped out of their pocket. And so you know who it belongs to, so you just give it back to them. If you find a $20 bill lying in the middle of a field somewhere, you might just take it and take off with it. And so if we know who everything belongs to, then whatever it is, whether it's food or this energy of money, you know, Lakshmi, or anything else, including our families. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings the song, Manasa Deho Geho Yo Kichumur, that my mind, my body, and then he comes to this point, my soul, all these things belong to you. So anyway, particularly with money, tena tyaktena bunjita, there's a set-aside quota. There's different quotas for different stages of life. If you're a brahmachari, you go out all day long and you beg alms for the spiritual master. And when you come back, you give all the money to the spiritual master or to the ashram, and then somebody goes and buys bhoga, offers it to the deity, and then the spiritual master will call you for prasadam and say, okay, now you can come eat. Now, if he forgets to call you, then you don't come eat. This is the life of a brahmachari. A brahmachari is supposed to cultivate this character that nothing is mine. And this is suggested for the beginning of life, komarat acharat pragno dharmam bhagavatam iha. This beginning of life, one should develop this mentality. Then, of course, brahmachari can either stay brahmachari or take to this grahastha life. In a regulated grahastha life, there's a different quota. And in that life, you're allowed to take a certain quota for maintenance of the family. Because you have a duty. Part of your duty as a grahastha is to maintain those that don't have an income, like the renunciates. And then also you have to maintain your family. You have to raise children in Krishna consciousness, and you have to teach them, and you have to feed them, and you have to clothe them, and all these things. So you have to, you know, use some of that Lakshmi. So different quota. Then in Vanaprastha, your life, you're supposed to wear tree bark and go to the forest. We can't find any. But then in sannyasi life, there's very few possessions. But we have a principle also for preaching Krishna consciousness. Sanasa tasya vishayan yatarham upayunjita nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagya muchate. There's a kind of a renunciation in that is, and this requires advancement, to use all kinds of energies to spread Krishna consciousness. Very practical. It means that, you know, we see all kinds of things come and we take them, and there's, Prabhupada talks about this in the Nectar of Instruction, this dadati pratigranati principle, that when you begin spreading Krishna consciousness, people come forward and they'll say, here's some money, here's some food, here, they'll give. You know, they see it's a good thing. So the preacher has to be very expert at utilizing all that for Krishna's service. So Prabhupada used to say that the Mayavadis, when someone tries to give them money, you know, they go like this and they won't take it. He said, but when they offer money to us, immediately takes it. And Prabhupada took money from people all over the world, and he engaged it for building temples. Like the Krishna Balaram temple was built for money that came from Japan, mostly. There was a whole crew of devotees over there, including our very own Satyadeva Prabhu, in the early 1970s, that practically sacrificed their whole youth, you know, for collecting the money for that temple. And, you know, a lot of the Japanese, without knowing it, sacrificed a lot of their money for building that temple. And Prabhupada took it all. You know, he said, keep it coming. And he took that money and he built, you know, he bought the property and he built the foundation. Now if you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir, millions of people come there to chant Hare Krishna and to see Krishna Balaram. It's the best darshan in the whole universe. You won't see a higher standard of deity worship. And anybody in Vrindavan, even the residents will tell you, there's no higher standard than what you see, the deity worship at Krishna Balaram Mandir. And you know, they come and they hear the Hare Krishna mantra. It comes at you like a freight train when you go in there in Kartik. Yeah, the devotees are in there, and that sound vibration is so powerful. People come in there, and now, you know, Mangalartik, during Kartik, you'll see, you know, 3,000 people come out with ISKCON bead bags and things, you know. And this is all by utilizing Lakshmi in the service of the Lord for the right purpose. So, yes, we'll take all the Lakshmi, we use it, and if you don't, then you'll lose it anyway. You know, everyone hoards money, but then, you know, worms eat it or the IRS will take it. You know, at the last minute, you think, oh, I'm rich, you know, and then it's like, oh, by the way, you forgot to pay your taxes and this and that, and, you know, this all belongs to us. And Satyadev Prabhu was telling me a few years ago that most people in America, they lose all their money at the end of life. They spend their whole life thinking about how to accumulate money because what they're going to do is they're going to take some time off and just live a high life without having to work. But because of the medical system in America, the way the insurance works is that at the end of life, if you get sick, and that's what most people, before they die, they get some kind of illness. If you don't have insurance, before the government will actually pay anything, like, what's it called? Medicare? Before Medicare will kick in, you have to spend all your money on your illness, and then they'll give you some support. So most people end up saving money their whole life, working really hard, and then they lose it all. One of Maguna's associates down at the Shiatsu place squirreled away like $400,000 or something like that. She was a total miser. She never spent on anything, including herself when she got sick near the end of her life. And then she was estranged from her relatives in Japan, whom she hated. And then when she died, all the money went to the relatives because she didn't have a will. And one way or another, whatever we have in the way of money, it's going to go away anyway. And this is part of the process of surrender, to think how Krishna's protecting me and he's my maintainer, to use our resources, especially our money in Krishna's service. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vasudev Dutta, he was a householder, and he was also very renounced. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sivananda Sen that to watch out for him because he wasn't saving enough money to maintain his family. So it's not that we have, according to our position in life, we should renounce accordingly. And it's not the duty of a householder to give away everything and let his family live on the street, but to maintain properly and then give his quota, you know, in that way. But yes, if we hold on to any energy, including money, especially money, and we don't utilize it in Krishna's service, then it will create problems for us. It will create sin. Kurvan evi ha karmani jijivishek shatam samaha evan tvai nanyate tosni na karma lipite nare. There's no alternative to this way for man. That's the law. To keep to the right, you got to keep to the right, or you're going to be in big trouble. Yes, Prabhuji. Use the microphone, though.
Sometimes in order to pursue our, you know, making money necessities, we have to deal with work, which involves unideal like situations, like dealing with other businesses that deal in alcohol or, you know, women or, you know, inappropriate things. So how do we, you know, strategically plan our work in such a way that either avoids that kind of association, or if it's a necessity, how do we deal with that?
Well, first of all, Krishna says in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that every endeavor is covered with some sort of fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. You know, you need fire to make Vedic sacrifice, you need fire to cook, you need fire to do everything, but it makes smoke. It also burns places down sometimes. So there's fault behind every action. And Prabhupada explains in the purport there that, you know, Brahmins, they do what they do, but sometimes they sacrifice animals in the, you know, for the sacrifice. And Vaishyas, they have this job of selling things, and oftentimes, most times, they'll say, for you, I make no profit. But that's a lie. Otherwise, how are they staying in business, you know? And on, everyone has some sort of duty to do, and it's covered by fault because it's contaminated by the modes of material nature. There's no way around it. You have to, you know, ideally for devotional life, you have to make the best adjustment that you can so that you can live peacefully and do your service. It's based on how much, you know, you can do your service. If you take some job, for instance, if you have a choice of taking one job that makes more money but it takes you away from devotional service to some faraway place, or, you know, you can make less money and be next to the temple and be part of the program, then pick the one where you can have the service. And in any kind of discrimination in dealing with your employment, you have to make a balanced judgment. Take advice, look at it carefully, and then do the best thing that you can. But keep in mind, there's not going to be a perfect situation in the material world. So, April, what do you want to say? Okay. Sheetal.
As Rakshit
Prabhu. Yes, you can.
I was thinking more like internal surrender. We're talking, you know, importantly about external surrender, but there's one purport. I can't remember where it is. You know, it's in the early chapters of the Gita.
We'll move up just a few minutes.
Prabhupada says the highest realization is renunciation of the bodily conception of life. And so internally, you know, the crux of our problem is we think that we're separate of Krishna, or we think that we're separate from Krishna, and we think that we're this mind and body. And so to internally renounce that and accept that we're part and parcel of Krishna, then that changes, you know, our whole external, you know, activity as well. Or whatever our external activities are, they'll be, you know, congruent or, you know, one with what our internal realization is.
Thank you.
That basically that takes care of the problem.
Start from the internal.
Yeah.
Sheetal.
One just example while Rakshit Prabhu was mentioning activity, I came across a very nice statement in Higher Test which says just cooking, consciousness is the most important ingredient when we cook for Krishna. So if consciousness is not there, then it's just a mundane bhoga or sinful, though it would be vegetarian and all that. But if the consciousness not it is tuned in the right way, then everything is not different than what it was.
Thank you.
I'd just like to add that the recommendation that Krishna gave to Arjuna was that do not renounce work was qualified with work in devotion. That's very important. So it is work where one's mind is fixed on Krishna. The consciousness has to be dovetailed to Krishna. If it is just work for the sake of work, then it will fall in the mundane category. When we see the recommendation is given, the key words are work in devotion, without renunciation of work, without renunciation, without attachment to results, or to the activity itself, but working in devotion with Krishna consciousness is the key.
Thank you. So tonight we're going to have an offering for Srila Prabhupada and for Sriman Mahaprabhu, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, and Shishi Lakshmi Nisingadev of the results of all the Sankirtan from our Maha Sankirtan Festival of Cooperation. The Srila Prabhupada Maha Sankirtan Festival of Cooperation and many, many devotees did this austerity, sacrificed some time, and went out to distribute Krishna consciousness. And so even in Krishna consciousness, we give the result to Krishna. In fact, in the beginning of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni observes a Brahmin who does a festival, and he feeds many people, and he worships his Shalagram Shila. And then, after the whole festival is done, he takes all the Sukriti, because you get huge piles of Sukriti from serving others prasadam and doing all kinds of yajnas. So he took all that sukriti and he came to his deity and he offered all that back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the devotees of the Lord are offering everything, and we're going to do it now. And practically that's what we're doing. You know, from the results of whatever we're offering in Krishna consciousness, whatever activities we do, we offer it back to Krishna. So tonight is a very special night. It's a culmination of the work and sacrifice of many, many devotees. We've put mental energy, physical energy, devotional energy into this process of Sankirtan. So we'll have an offering tonight. So we can put all the books away in an efficient way and as quickly as possible, and then all the asans back in the corner, and then we will stand before the before Srila Prabhupada and for the deities, and Rakshit Prabhu has painstakingly, and I do mean painstakingly, it takes hours and hours to do this kind of work, along, I know, Praveena Mataji also works on this, keeping these records of all the books that have been distributed, all the devotees that participated, and it's not easy to tabulate all that. They've spent hours, probably up all night. Over several days. Okay, and we'll offer all that to Srila Prabhupada and to the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gopri Manande.